You're listening to Showtime
on URN.
Hello, I'm Ella Vidrinska from Showtime, URN's specialist musical theatre show, and you're listening to our podcast Spotlight On, where I'm keeping you up to date with all the latest theatrical news. And the big news this week is that Fisherman's Friends the musical is in town at Nottingham's Theatre Royal until Saturday the 4th of February. We actually have the honour of being the first stop on the 2023 leg of the ongoing tour, so do check out all the other upcoming dates and venues via the link in the post if you're looking to get tickets. But if you're not familiar with Fisherman's Friends as a band, as a story, as a stage show, then let me bring you up to speed. The Fisherman's Friends are a folk music group from Port Isaac in Cornwall who sing sea shanties. That's the basics. The band started when this group of real-life Cornish fishermen and coast guards, they began performing locally in the mid-90s. But they then became more of a household name when they signed a major record deal with Universal Music in 2010. And they ended up having a top 10 album in the UK charts. And just FYI, they are still releasing music and touring and performing in real life, like they were in Nottingham just last year. So if sea shanties and folk music are your vibe, then do definitely check them out. They are a long-time staple in my family. Being a Pirate is our personal favourite song, so I do highly recommend giving the Fisherman's Friends a listen if their music is new to you, which is fair if it is, because unless you have a family like mine who are already really into folk music, you're probably going to be most familiar with Fisherman's Friends via the 2019 film with Daniel Mays and James Purefoy, which, while taking some creative liberties, was based on the true story, and it sees a London record producer meeting the band in Port Isaac and then trying to get them a record deal. Now, I have to start by holding my hands up and admitting something. I did not like the film. I didn't even finish it, and it does take quite a lot to make me physically stop watching something once I'm already in it. I know a lot of people enjoyed the film enough that there was a sequel released just last year, but it wasn't for me personally. The music was great, but the plot and the script were just a bit saccharine and twee and formulaic for me. Totally just my opinion, but I feel like it's important to mention because the stage musical that is now touring the UK is based specifically on that film. And I want to make it clear that some of what I'm going to say in this review is probably slightly coloured by what are to me similar issues that just aren't quite to my taste personally. Because I went to see the stage show yesterday as part of its press night here in Nottingham, like I said, and I have sort of mixed feelings about it, because there were some parts that were amazing and then there were other parts that just weren't for me, which was honestly such a shame because folk in musical theatre is my favourite thing in the world and I so wanted to really love this show. And in a lot of ways, I did. The music, first and foremost, is spectacular. This is easily one of the best sounding and best sung shows I've heard in a while. Yes, I already like the music of Fisherman's Friends, and this show is packed full to the brim with sea shanties and traditional tunes. But David White's arrangements take these songs to a whole new level. The harmonies were faultless from start to finish, and I have to single out Hadrian De Lacy in particular because, my goodness, I fell in love with his voice instantly. And also, if we're naming names, Pete Gallagher, who was just clearly having the best time on stage and stole every scene that he was in for me, loved it. I do think from a musical theatre perspective, though, the original songs that appear in the show were probably my favourites. Village by the Sea, written by the original musical director, James Findlay, has kind of become the promotional song for Fisherman's Friends, and I will leave a video of it in the post here for you to watch because it's just gorgeous. It's so beautifully written and performed in true knockout style by Parisa Shamir. In fact, Parisa Shamir was absolutely standout in everything she did. She has got such a stunning voice and the acting presence to match as well. I was captivated watching her in this show. Plus, I have to mention the fact that she actually wrote herself my other favourite song in the show called The Tidal Pool, which is a song that her character is meant to have written. So I love that she had that creative involvement as well too. I mean, don't get me wrong, all of the songs sounded amazing and had that glorious, rousing energy that only folk music really captures. But like, from a storytelling and theatrical perspective, it was kind of clear that the original songs worked in and around the story better, if that makes sense. None of the traditional tunes ever felt shoehorned in or anything like that, but, you know, there's a reason that it was Village by the Sea that got reprised at a key plot point, because that was the song that captured the themes and the story and the emotion more so than any of the sea shanties did. Even so, if and when a cast recording gets made of this show, which I really hope it does, run and get yourself a copy, because the sound of it is just next level. And maybe because the music is so good, it potentially reveals some of the weaknesses in the overall plot. Like the film, the story felt a bit pedestrian and predictable. Like, it's not a problem and it hits all the marks that you expect it to, but I don't know, maybe as someone who watches a lot of theatre and a lot of this style of theatre as well, I feel like I've seen this kind of overall story done a lot of times before in the past, and the other contemporary shows are actually being a bit more intuitive and progressive with it. Like, I say progressive there, I do have to acknowledge that this feels quite dated as a show, which is weird because it premiered in 2021, but like, it's very heteronormative, it's very formulaic, and to me it just comes off as a bit dated in style and tone and values. Now, I recognise that what I call dated as someone in my 20s, someone else might call nostalgic, for instance. And I do think it does a great job of capturing village life and that close-knit community vibe, like the camaraderie between this group of characters and the actors playing them as well. That really shines through, which is lovely to see. But I think that that maybe plays into it all feeling a little bit too quaint and old-fashioned for me personally. Like, there are some genuinely laugh out loud moments, but there were also a lot more moments when the older audience around me were howling with laughter and I wasn't, and I felt very out of place. I mean, a prime example is when the fisherman's friends go to London and they're presented as being very out of place, and if you excuse the pun, like a fish out of water. There is a genuinely funny line that I appreciated about one of them wanting to go on the underground as part of their bucket list, which is then instantly undercut with a joke about calling an oyster card a lobster card. You know, bit of wordplay, fine, but it fell a bit flat for me, though the people around me loved it. And then the group, to highlight their confusion and out of placeness, they accidentally wander into a gay bar. Now, first of all, wasn't expecting a disco version of the last shanty, and honestly wasn't mad about it being there. But the whole scene is geared to make us laugh at the otherness of London and the fact that these men are out of place there. They're still having a wonderful time and making great use of a pink feather boa. And it went down a storm with the audience of similarly aged white middle class people. And I feel bad because I know that that's the point of the story. One of the overriding themes is about having your comfort zone at home with the people who you've known your entire life, and how scary and intimidating and genuinely off-putting it can be to leave that behind. But it felt to me like we were being encouraged to laugh too much at the otherness itself, rather than finding a more updated humour in this close-knit group trying to find their feet outside their home village, if that makes sense. Again, this is just my opinion, and I'm very aware that I am approaching this show with different eyes to the main target market that it's appealing to. Like, I love Fisherman's Friends as a band, and I adore folk music generally, and as I've said, one of my favourite genres of musical theatre is folk musicals, The Wicker Husband and Amelie and Come From Away and so on. Like, folk musical theatre is just the best music, in my opinion. And Fisherman's Friends has that in abundance, but it also knows its target audience, and I'm not really part of that, which is a shame because there is so much good in this show and I really wanted to love it when I went into it. Like, Lucy Osborne's set design is so gorgeous to look at and captures the energy and colours of the Cornish seaside. The opening shot in particular, with this fishing boat out on stormy seas coupled with Joanna Towne's truly impressive lighting design and some inspired dry ice usage. Like, that was so effective. The choreography from Matt Cole brings this authentic, earthy, folksy feel, which I really enjoyed. And I loved that we had a group of actor musicians on stage throughout who were very much part of the action and the story. Again, it really captured the folk energy. And honestly, they are such a talented bunch of musicians. There is so much to love in this show. And that's why it's frustrating that there were enough bits that fell flat for me personally that stopped me from truly loving it. I liked it. I had a lovely time at the theatre. I would definitely recommend it to existing fans of Fishman's Friends and especially to people who like the film. But I think if you're someone who goes to the theatre a lot and who has more shows to compare it to, of this style and genre in particular, then yeah, it's going to seem a bit more dated in story terms only by comparison. That being said, it did end with the entire audience on their feet, which I'm still sort of pleased about because I think it reflects and rewards the quality of the music. There's this pureness to it, like this authenticity that the genre and style of singing allows. And as I said earlier, there's something very rousing and inspiring about this kind of music. And so the show ends with the Fishman's Friends being invited to perform at Glastonbury, something which did happen in real life. And the audience all get up to dance and clap along. In fact, I sort of wish that the show developed that bit more. They only do one song, South Australia, and actually I kind of think they should have milked it for longer. Like, the audience are there and they're fully on board. Do a whole bloody megamix. I mean, I understand that it's already quite a long show, but recognise what works well and capitalise on that and make the most of this very eager and enthusiastic audience who want to join in and celebrate this music. For me, the show was at its best by far when it felt more like a folk concert, so it would have been nice to have that extended at the end. Plus, I love Megamix, so I do admit I'm biased there. Again, though, this is a show that, if and when a cast recording is released, I will be listening to it non-stop. The music is excellent. It is so well performed by a really talented cast, and that's the thing that captures the heart and soul of this show. I know we have to have plot, and I know we have to have a cocky record producer who finds love with the country girl and realises that London was never really home for him all along. But it's when the show goes back to its roots and celebrates the music of this band and this part of the country that it really soars, which I guess kind of ties to the main theme of the story anyway. So I think that covers the main things that I want to say about this show. It was the opening night in Nottingham and also their first show back after a stint in Canada and then a short break as well. So I do wonder what it would feel like if you go to see the show further down the line when everyone's a bit more settled back into it. Like, it's not going to change the overall plot by any means, but I wonder if it might feel a little bit smoother and more cohesive overall. Certainly though, if you like this style of music or just want a fun night out at the theatre, then do go to see Fishman's Friends because there is so much good in it and a lot of heart too. It's in Nottingham at the Theatre Royal until Saturday the 4th of February, but will then be continuing on its UK tour. So check out all the upcoming dates and venues via the link here in the post to get tickets. But on that note, I will say goodbye to you for now. Of course, I'll be back again from 6 p.m. on Sunday, live on urn1350.net with Showtime for non-stop show tunes and theatre news. You can also follow along on Facebook at URN Showtime and on Twitter at ShowtimeURN to make sure you never miss a moment. Because, as we say, the showtime must go on. Until next time. Goodbye.
You're listening to Showtime
on URN.